If you will, take God's word. That's why we're here. If you know anything about me, I'm a Bible preacher. So if you will, take God's word and find, if you will, the book of the Revelation. The Revelation of Jesus, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. It has been awesome to be here with the theme being abandoned. And as I was thinking about this morning, I had kind of chosen to go a different direction, and then I kind of went another direction, and then I ended up kind of back to this direction. I sat on a panel not too long ago at a seminary, and as I was listening to some different things, as these young men were talking, I began hearing things that have been abandoned. I began hearing and some discussions. Young people, don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. I listened. Grandma, Grandpa, don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. Mom, Dad, don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. College students, don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. I listened as individuals preparing for ministry began to say things like the following. Well, I know what you're saying, and I know that people have debated, and people have said, and people have discussed that book. Well, that right there immediately kind of stuck with me, because it's not a book. It's the Word of God. You read other books, this book reads you. And this book is not like any other book. This is the Word of God. This is inspired of God. Not some of it, not portions of it, all of it. And I begin to listen to these guys as they begin to say things like, well, you know, I mean, what we need to do is we simply need to focus on this. Define this for me. And they begin to define this for me, and they said, what we need to focus on is just what Jesus has said. We just need to focus on Jesus and be all about Jesus and exalt Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, I kind of like that. That sounds kind of good. And then they made statements like this, you know, but we need to be careful about what about Jesus we talk about. And then that kind of dug into me again. And so I raised the question, and I said, well, what Jesus, what portions about Jesus are you talking about? And they said, oh, you know, his love and his teachings, and we need to discuss those kind of things about how that he is accepting and how that he is all these kind of things. And I said, well, so what about the cross? What about the reason for the cross? Because we just sang about that gloriously and his amazing grace, and we discussed that, and we discussed his crucifixion as we exalted the name of Jesus through song beautifully just a moment ago. And we discussed his resurrection. Did you notice that? We have run the gamut, if you will, about Jesus. And I asked the question, I said, but what about this Jesus? Which Jesus do you want? Because it sounds like you want a Jesus that you have recreated in your image and not a biblical Jesus. You want a Jesus that talks about love, and he is love, and he is the embodiment of love. And you want to discuss these type of things, but what about this Jesus? Revelation chapter 20 is that Jesus that I was talking about. Many people want the good teachings of Jesus, so to speak, but understand this. Jesus came as a lamb, but he will come again as a lion. You cannot separate the two. You can't have one without the other. And Jesus is talking here, and Jesus, it's describing him here, and we discover that many people want to abandon this Jesus, and I encourage you this morning, don't abandon this Jesus, because to abandon this Jesus is to abandon the gospel and to truly abandon the Word of God. You can't have one without the other. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, look at Jesus, look at him here. Then I saw a great white throne, and him, Jesus, who was seated on that throne, on it. From his presence, from the very presence of Jesus, earth and sky fled away. And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead, both small and great, both great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea also gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades, or death and hell, gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What Jesus do you want? What Jesus are you looking for? People say, well, Jesus was just so awesome and he was just so nice. And yes, he was, and yes, he is. Because I want you to know something. Don't ever speak of Jesus in the past tense. He still is. And he forever will be. There will never be a time he was not and is not. Before anything ever came into being, he already was. And through the incarnation, he came to his own creation for the sole purpose. He did perform miracles, but they all pointed to the fact that he is who he said he is. He is God incarnate. He has all authority. Jesus is the full representation, Colossians 1 and 2 says, of the Father. He told the disciples, he said, if you have seen me, you know what the Father looks like. You know what the Father acts like. You know how the Father handles people. You understand this. He said that he was going to his Father and our Father. He is the full representation of him. But you can't abandon Jesus. You can't just like some parts of Jesus. You can't just redefine Jesus. He is not up for redefinition. Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Master. Jesus is King. Jesus is Example. And Jesus is the Judge. Mark it down big, plain, and tall. Don't put any ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't want to leave here unclear about anything. Jesus is all of that. He is way, he is truth, he is life. And one day, he will judge. And all of the unsaved dead will stand before him. Every single one, the graves will be opened, the sea will give up their dead as well, and you will be judged by a holy, righteous, sovereign, majestic, gracious, loving, merciful, available for grace now, God. It will happen. You mark it down. That day is coming. It is coming. All that men have dreamed, all that men have schemed, all that men have sold their souls for will turn to rust and dust and mold and canker and corruption. And John says that that day, that very day, is described right here in what we have just read about. Did you notice some stuff in the text? I want you to see. Take God's word and let's just look at this day that so many want to abandon. I want you to notice, first of all, did you see the fearful setting in the text? Did you see the fearful setting in the text? To be honest with you, I think that even if you know Jesus, this should make us tremble a little bit. No, a lot. It should cause us that know Jesus as our Savior to fall down in worship and praise and say, "Hallelujah, I'm not going to be at that judgment." Anybody else? There's a fearful setting. Notice what it says. Then I saw a great white throne. Did you notice that? I saw a great white throne. The word great is talking about the awesomeness of this event. It's talking about the awesome power and ultimate purpose of this event, which is to ultimately judge. It will ultimately be judgment. It's called not just a great throne, it's called a great white throne. Not just speaking of its greatness, but talking about its purity. Talking about its holiness. Nothing sinful can stand there. Nothing sinful can stay there. The only ones that can stand before Jesus and stay there are those that have had the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through His grace applied and appropriated to their life. And that's not this place. Notice this. You see the fearful setting. The earth and heaven. Did you notice what it says? I saw a great white throne and Him who seated on the throne. It says, from His presence, Pastor Michael. Notice that. From His presence that the very earth and sky fled away. They run from Him. Brian, isn't it amazing? I mean, you think about this. In the garden, there were two individuals in the garden, and they ran when sin entered into this world, and they hid from God. There's no hiding here. There will be no leaves to be sown around you here. There will be no trees or bushes to run to. There's not going to be any place to hide here. You're in the very presence of the Lord, and all unsaved will stand before Him in judgment. I've heard some people say this. Have you ever heard somebody say this, Pastor Michael? Lord, I've heard them pray this. Lord, that we could just one day stand before Your great white throne. Don't pray that for me. No, sir. No, that's not where I'm going to be. That's not my judgment. I'm going to the Bema. I'm going to that place. This is the great white throne. This is the judgment of the lost. Don't pray that for me. And everyone who stands before this great white throne stands before King Judge Jesus. Where do you get that? John 5 and verse 22, Jesus said this of Himself, that the Father in fact judges no one, but He has given the judgment to the Son. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is Master. Jesus is Judge. Jesus is the judge right here. He is this one that even all the earth and the skies, they run away from Him. What Jesus you want? You can't abandon this Jesus. This Jesus is in the Word too. This Jesus is here too. This is Jesus. This is the one that you need. The one who took all judgment on himself at the cross is now here. And those who have rejected him and spurned him, he now will judge, because he is God. He is King. He is Master. He is Lord. And he is Judge. You're going to meet Jesus. Every person who has ever lived is going to stand before Jesus one way or another, and it's inescapable, it's unavoidable. And if you don't meet Jesus as Savior here on this earth now, you will meet him in eternity as your judge. What's it going to be like whenever that you stand before Jesus one day? What's it going to be like at this judgment? Revelation 1 verses 13 through 16, it told us, when, if you go back and you read it, it talks about how that Jesus is seated on his throne, and the lampstands of one of the sons of God is dressed in a robe, and he has a gold sash wrapped around his chest, and his head is like white wool, white as snow, purity. His eyes are like a flaming fire. His feet are like fine brass burned in a furnace heated up. His voice is going to be like cascading waters. Can you imagine trying to talk back to Niagara Falls? That's his voice. Thunderous. Majestic. That's my King. That's my Savior. That's my Lord. That's my Redeemer. That's the one who has took my judgment. There's a fearful setting. Then there's the forceful summons. Look at the text. Look what the text says. Notice what it says in verse 12. And I saw the dead. He's talking about both physical dead. Understand this, that you are living, and you will, and I will die someday, but your body will die, but your soul will continue to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he's talking about the physical dead, but he's also talking about the spiritual dead, those that are lost. And I saw the dead, both great and small, those that have got lots of stuff and lots of wealth and lots of degrees, and they're known by this world, and small, those that have nothing. Those that are great, those that are esteemed, those that everybody thinks they've got it all together, and those that are small, those that seem to have nothing going for them. Those that are great, those that are old, those that are small, those that are young, and all in between that do not know Christ. Notice what he says. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by that which was written in the book. Who are these people? Well, some are just flat out the worst of the worst sinners, we would call them, right? And by the way, can I just say this to you? There's not a person in here that's better than anybody. We are all sinners. I'm a good sinner, by the way. I'm good at sinning. But I have a greater Savior than my sin. Can I get a witness? But there are some people. There are some people, and get this, they are brazenly, braggingly, braggadociously, boldly shaking their fists in the name of a holy God and saying, I don't believe in you. I don't want anything to do with you. If you're really real, strike me down. I don't see you. I don't think that you're really there. One day you will. They're the self-righteous that will be there. Those that think they're too good to be damned. Those that you think that you're too good for Jesus to send you to hell. Maybe you serve on the PTA. Maybe you serve in the community. Maybe you've got all this stuff going for you. People like you. But you don't know Jesus. These people, some, they don't realize that, you get this, that there are no one so bad that they cannot be saved, but no one so good that they do not need to be saved. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone needs Jesus, from the pulpit to the sound booth, in the balcony, under the balcony, outside these walls, all need Jesus. People you go to school with, people that you are in college with, people that you work with, people that cut your hair, people that change your tires, people that rotate your tires and things like that. You need to understand, all of us need Jesus. Procrastinators will be there. That this is a group that says, you know what, I believe in God, and I even like Jesus, and I believe in Jesus, but you know what, I'll come to him whenever that I choose to. No, you won't. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the time. If you're procrastinating, get this, if you are procrastinating, if you are procrastinating, you're saying, I'll do that some other time, I beg of you, Pastor Michael begs of you, Pastor Jordan begs of you, Vision begs of you, come to Jesus today. Today. Today, don't procrastinate. You feel your heart beat, the need is now. Once your heart stops beating, once you go into eternity, it's too late. Come to Jesus. Someone's called the heartbeat of the unsaved person a muffled drum beating a funeral march to his grave. Somebody says, well, man, that's scary. My friend, I would rather frighten someone than to lull them into hell. You say, well, I don't know if I like you. You don't have a problem, Matt. You have a problem with Jesus. You've redefined Jesus. You've abandoned the biblical Jesus. And then there are going to be some unsaved church members here. Not anti-God, like the music, happy, clappy. Some of you stood there with your hands in your pocket. Some of you raised your hands. But you've simply been deceived. Here you are. Somehow you've counted your church membership, or counted your church attendance, or you've counted your service to the church. And get this. That's why the Word of God says, examine yourselves to see if you really be in the faith. I mean, get this. Don't miss this. I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist. I'm not asking you if you like the songs. I'm not asking you if you like the music. I'm not asking you if you like the color of the carpet. I'm not asking if you're attending. I'm not asking you if you're tithing. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you denied yourself and taken up the cross and followed after him? Or have you abandoned that and redefined the gospel and redefined Jesus and adopted a different Jesus? I mean, I want you to understand something, that the devil had rather soon send you to hell, for you to go to hell from the church pew, from those seats, as in the gutter somewhere. Many people are going to hell surrounded by baptismal certificates, Awana certificates, tithing envelopes, but never have met Jesus. Then there are going to be those that have absolutely, positively never heard the gospel that are going to be in hell. Romans 1 talks about how that there is enough light of the gospel, of the truth of God declared in creation, that he exists and that he is there, and to declare that we are even sinners, but there's not enough gospel light in creation or even in the conscience of man to save him. But there is enough to damn him. There's the fearful setting. There is this forceful summons. And did you notice in verse 13, here's where they're coming from. Did you see what it says in verse 13? And the sea gave up the dead. There's no hiding. You think that you'll just be buried at sea. You know, I'll just be buried at sea. We're close to the beach. I'll just have them take me out and dump me in the sea and everything will happen. All that stuff's going to come together when he comes, and you're going to get up out of that sea. You say, well, I'll be cremated. Listen to me. All that dust will be put back together. For dust you were, and dust you are, and dust you will be. But you're going to stand before him and give an account one day. Somebody says, well, I'll just be put in a box somewhere and I'll be let them put me in a vault, in a steel vault or in a mausoleum. I'm going and nobody's going to find me. Jesus will summon you, and when he tells you to come, you're coming to stand before Jesus. You're going to get up. Death and hell, not just the sea, will give up their dead. Earth will give up the dead. You need to understand this. Understand this point right here. I said it a while ago, but your body will die. But get this, and the grave, the sea, the whatever will take your body. But if you don't know Jesus, hell will take your soul. And listen to me. The lake of fire is eternity. Hades is temporary. If the lake of fire is eternal and Hades is temporary, understand, think of it this way, that Hades is kind of like the county jail. The lake of fire is the penitentiary. And you ain't getting out of there. Never getting out. I understand this. There's the power for which they're called. You know what? I know this. It says that he'll come. He's going to summons and you're going to come. Pastor Mike, you ever heard some people, they want to appeal? And they'll tell the judge, they'll say something like this, well, he's too sick to show up. And the lawyer will say, I'm here to represent my client. There's no sick day. When this judge says come, you're coming. And you are going to give an account to him. You will give it again. No one will be able to pull the dirt over their face. Nobody's going to pull the cover over their eyes. Nobody's going to hit the snooze button and say, can we reschedule this thing? Let's look at this. Notice this real fast. Look at the fatal secrets. Look back at verse 12 again. Notice what he says. He says, and there were books that are opened, and there was a book of life that was opened, and all were judged according to the books. Do you know God's keeping a record? God's keeping a record. You know what this is right here? You know what this is? You know what they sang? You know what they sang into right there? What's that called? A microphone. And they've got this little control thing up there, and I've got this little button on this little pack under on my belt right here, and they've got these little things right there, and you can push a button, and it'll turn it off. And when it's on, it's called a hot mic. And sometimes, you know, things get squirrely and things go like, or they'll make some strange noises and stuff like that. You know, sometimes it doesn't pick up something. Sometimes it doesn't catch something. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Vision? You know, and so understand this. Understand this. God's mic is always hot. It picks up everything. Stuff that you never thought anybody knew about. You thought nobody else would find out about it. God knows about it, and he's been writing it in his book. You're saved by grace, but you're judged by the fact that you've tried to work, and your works don't add up. Only the work of Christ is good enough. And you can either be saved by grace or you can be judged according to his work. And whenever that you are judged according to his work, do you know what you discover? You don't measure up. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? The biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus that I do not deserve. One day, judgment day will happen. And then let's notice one final thing. One final thing, because I'm hungry, okay? Pastor Jordan didn't feed me this morning. Y'all need to get on to him for that. I'm just teasing. Kind of. There's a final sentence. I don't even want to read this to you. I don't even want to talk about this. But I have to. I've got to be faithful and preach the whole counsel of God, not just some of it. You have a final sentence. Then death, verse 14, and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if, underline this, underline it, put a note beside it. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It surely will happen. There's no bribing the judge. There's no appeals. There's no shrewd lawyer that will be able to spin your case and get you off. Romans 14 says this, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will praise and give praise to God. And each one of us will give an account for himself to God. God swears by himself, judgment day is coming. And there is nothing higher than him." There's the severity of the judgment. God will judge according to works, not according to grace and mercy. And some of you say, well, you know what? I'll throw myself on the mercy of the court. I'll beg. I'll plead. I'll ask for an extension to do it better. If you want grace and mercy, now's the time. This is too late, what we're talking about. It is sure, it is swift, it will be done. Don't get the idea you're going to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Don't get the idea you're going to ask for grace then. You want mercy, you want grace, it's available now. But you find yourself, if you reject Jesus here, judgment day is yours. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord, the Word of God says, will be saved. Evidence will be presented. The judge will look at you and you might give your defense and he might ask you some questions and he'll say, well, what'd you do with me? I mean, just listen to some of the things that maybe people might say. Maybe this is something you thought you might say. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I don't judge me. Because the Word of God, you know, your Word says, judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus will remind you, he is Savior, and he is God, and he is judge, and he has all right to judge. Well, okay, Lord, well, hang on a minute. I mean, there wasn't a Baptist church in my community. And Jesus said, I didn't ask you if he's a Baptist. I said, believe on me and you'd be saved. I didn't tell you to believe in the Baptist and you'd be saved. Well, Lord, hang on a minute. I was a good person. And Jesus would look at you and say, I didn't say believe on yourself. I said believe in me and you'd be saved. Well, there were so many hypocrites and there were so many people that claimed to be Christians and they just didn't represent you well. And, you know, that's why I didn't get saved. And he'll say, well, I didn't say believe on my people and be saved. I said believe on me and be saved. And then the verdict will be handed down. And a sovereign, glorious, willing to give grace and mercy, judge will declare judgment. And he will say to you, like he says, he will say in Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you. And cast you forever, verse 14 says, into the lake of fire, forever and ever. And ever. You say, well, I don't believe in hellfire. You will be the moment you end up there. But what do people do? What are we to do? We're to point people to Jesus and to abandon this thought process that people can work and be good enough and nice enough to make it into right relationship with Jesus. To do that is to abandon the cross. To do that is to abandon Jesus. To do that is to abandon everything about Jesus. So what do we need to do? We need to embrace Jesus. We need to embrace the biblical Jesus. We need to embrace the gospel and abandon something that is misguided, some misnomer, something else that is not Jesus in the gospel. And we need to point people to say, there is hope and there is help right now. And some of you are here, and some of you may be watching or listening, and some of you are sitting in this room, and you're saying, how do we share this? How do we do this? What about me? What about me? That's me. That's me this morning. That's where I'm headed. Are you ready? Time out. Look right here. Look right here. What's the answer? If this is not where you want to be in this courtroom, with this judge, settle out of court. You've got to settle out of court. How do you settle out of court? Throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus now. Throw yourself in repentance and faith and ask for his grace and his forgiveness. And you know what he'll do? He'll abandon his judgment on you. He will give you his grace and mercy, and he will give you and declare you righteous in his sight. And that's what we all need, and I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But you're here, students. You're here, Mom. You're here, Dad. You're here, Grandma. You're here, Grandpa. You're here, college students. And you've got this misnomer that maybe God's holding out, and you're holding out hope that there's another way other than Jesus. There's no other way but Jesus. And you're holding out, and you're thinking somebody else will tell them and share with them the gospel. Abandon those thoughts. Care enough for them to carry their name before a holy God, pray for them, and to live before them and share them with words the gospel. Whose name do you need to bring to this altar this morning and pray that God would grip their heart and draw them to himself that they might come to Jesus? Who in this room this morning, God's speaking to your heart, God's drawing you to himself, he's shown you this morning that you need him. And yes, he does love, and yes, he does care, and yes, he will, and he is mighty to save, and he is available to save. But you reject him, we're not playing around here. Judgment day is coming. Will you abandon trying to be good enough, trying to be great enough, trying to be nice enough, trying to think that you can make it, and cast yourself on the grace and mercy of Jesus offered to you through a terrible cross that's so beautiful because of what it offers, the bridge that it builds, the salvation it can bring through his death and his resurrection? Won't you come to Jesus this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, you are good. Lord, may we abandon us and completely, completely embrace you. You know who we are, and you know where we are. Your will be done. Pastor Michael.
We're going to stand and sing together, and Pastor Jordan and I are going to be down front. And we would love to pray with you. If you don't know the Jesus that Matt has talked about this morning, we don't want to abandon Jesus, but we can abandon ourselves. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And so turn from self today, turn from sin today, turn from the world today. and repent and put your faith in Christ if you do not know him. Pastor Jordan, I would love to start a conversation with you about that right here at the altar this morning. And the altar is also open. You can pray about anything that's on your heart this morning. This is our time to respond to what the Lord has said to us in his word. Let's sing together.